Good morning, church. How are we all doing today? What a beautiful day it is. What a beautiful day it is. And here we are in the house of the Lord for an opportunity to worship. And there are some important changes that are happening at the St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church this morning. With our masks on, we will be singing with gusto. And we will leave here with moist masks. Isn't that correct? Thank you, Tommy, for that this morning. Coming in this morning, I was listening to my favorite jazz station and Oscar Peterson, Hymn for Freedom. Oh, and I love the way you do the courting. So thank you so very much for that this morning. And the worship band will be leading us in worship, and we look forward to the three selections that they have chosen. It's your opportunity to sing and sing praise to our great God. And so, and the other important item concerning our worship service is those who have the assist of a wheelchair or a walker exit by the center aisle. And I always felt sorry for those who sat on this side because they had to wait for the people on the other side to leave. We're going to both go at it at the same time. We're both going to leave at the same time, from the back to the front, okay? But in an orderly fashion. And I know you will want to take care that there would still be some distance with your masks on, please. Physical distancing is important. Allow me to share a few important announcements this morning as well. Your bulletin, of course, contains these announcements, but just to highlight, your church council has announced that our annual general meeting will be on Sunday, March the 27th. March the 27th. So please keep that in mind as you plan. You're being given lots of notice, the end of March, Sunday, March the 27th. And I'll tell you, I'm not sure if you felt this way, but when I read in the bulletin about the Vacation Bible School in July, I suddenly had a warm feeling that came all over me in these cold, cold winter days. Vacation Bible School, July. Let's prayerfully anticipate that wonderful time when children and volunteers will work together. It is, of course, my responsibility as your worship leader to also express our condolences not only to youth worker Taya Himes and her husband John on the death of Taya's grandmother, Margaret Adamson, on February the 17th. Let's pray for Taya. She and Gran were very, very close. We understand that. And so Taya sends her regrets that she would not be with us this morning. We also want to express our sympathies to John and Ruth Hildebrand on the death of John's sister, Katie Kopechny, on Friday, February the 18th. Pastor Randy called me this morning with the details concerning the Kopechny funeral arrangements. Visitation will be here on Thursday, from 4 o'clock till 7 o'clock. The service will be Friday at 11 a.m. We do express our condolences to family and friends, and of course, we, her church community. Another sympathy is extended to Doug and Renee Penner on the death of Doug's sister, Catherine Formeri, on February the 14th. There are many other prayer items that are in your bulletin. I simply wanted to make note of the fact that we will have this morning, following our opening song by the worship team, an opening prayer. Not in your order of service, but later on in the service, I will lead in a pastoral prayer. So don't think that I forgot it. Okay, don't think I forgot about praying for some of these items, but they will be offered up in a pastoral prayer. This morning's call to worship is found in Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good.
dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. May God speak to our hearts and our minds as we worship together in spirit and in truth. Worship team, please come forward and lead us.
Good morning. I invite you to stand while we sing Good, Good Father this morning.
In stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and for answers only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. Your good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
You are a good, good Father, and we stand before you We offer to you our praise, our thanksgiving, for the gifts of your marvelous grace towards us, that we should stand before you this day and offer up words and songs and sacred melodies that are pleasing in your sight. Be pleased, O God, to move amongst us by your Holy Spirit, that we might sense through the lyrics of the songs, the words of the Holy Scriptures, and the quiet meditations of our heart, that you are here, and you are good, and you are ministering to our well-being of body, soul, and mind. Into your hands, believing in your very presence with us, we give thanks. Amen.
Please be seated.
Such powerful, powerful lyrics Some of you may not know that melody, that tune, but the words of that piece, just so powerful. And oh, how we need the assurance of God's presence with us. God is present with us. I invite you to pause in this service for a season of prayer. Let us pray. Yes, God, we do affirm with our worship team that you are here. And we further affirm that you are a holy God. And we desire to give you glory and praise for your very presence on planet Earth. For the earth itself, O God, is groaning. And we believe that there are tears being shed around the globe even this day. Yes, for the fate of planet Earth, but also for those communities and tribes of people around this world who are experiencing suffering, loss of home, forced into a life of fleeing and refugee status. Oh God, our hearts too are broken when we see the effects of the fallenness of our human race. And yet in the midst of the fallenness of this human race, oh God, you are building a people. You are establishing a kingdom of peace in the midst of a world that is so characterized by violence. And in our mind, we think of the many troubled spots around the world. And yes, we do intercede on behalf of those who have suffered extreme loss and who grieve. Particularly do we pray for the hot spot of the Ukraine, the former breadbasket of the world. A country that has seen so much. And so we pray for brothers and sisters, fellow human beings who are living with the stress and the uncertainty of what may happen tomorrow. We turn our attention, God, to our own homeland of Canada. God, may there be a sense of connection that we are a people that live in this marvelous land from sea to sea to sea. And what we have obviously witnessed during these last few weeks in different spots across Canada, but in particular in Ottawa. We do pray, God. We pray as you would want us to pray for those in leadership over us, whom we have entrusted to lead our country. Be pleased, God, we pray, to give wisdom, to give wisdom and direction to those who have been elected. But also we pray for those who serve in our courts, who serve on our streets as peace officers. Grant to them the level of restraint and direction and care for fellow citizens. As a congregation, God, we draw our attention to the many in our congregation who are grieving. We all grieve when a member of our community of faith passes from this life to being a part of the church that is triumphant in the glory land. And so we pray your hand upon our loved ones who have recently slipped away. For those that continue to be weak in body, we pray for them as well. We hold in our hands our church bulletin, and we see the names of familiar faces of men and women. We thank you, God, that we as a community of faith can support one another during times of grief and sorrow and sickness. And during this time, God, as a congregation, we pray for that transition period that we now are in the midst of. And with faith, we look forward one day to the calling of that under-shepherd, that pastor that would come and give leadership to this congregation. And yes, we pray for our church council, we pray for our search committee, and the many volunteers who assist in the programming of this church. And without the presence of Pastor Randy, youth worker Taya, we know that they each are carrying important responsibilities and burdens. Lift them up, God. May they sense the power of God, the wings holding them up as they move forward. May your blessing, God, continue to be upon us as we give attention to the acts of worship that are ours, whether it be singing, whether it be reading the scriptures, the presenting of our offerings in the baskets before we came into the auditorium. We worship you, God, in so many ways. Our very presence, may it be because we love you and want to serve you. And now, God, as Brother Ron would come and read from the Holy Scriptures, may these words speak into our lives. In your wonderful, awesome name we pray. Amen.
I'm reading a Psalm of David from Psalm 37, verse 1 to 11. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace.
May God speak to our hearts through the reading of his word. Battling envy with love. Do you find yourself envious at times? Envious of the circumstances of someone, their wealth, their health, their possessions, their carefree disposition? We all probably at one time or another would have to admit it. Found right in the first verse of Psalm 37. Do not fret because of those who are evil. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. I really struggled, I have to tell you this, with the shape of this sermon. Psalm 37 is one of the lectionary texts, and we always put the lectionary texts in the bulletin so you can read them throughout the course of the week and then, of course, throughout the year. And I found myself reading Psalm 37, and I thought, oh, I know how I'm going to preach on this Psalm 37. It's one of my favorite psalms, but I've never preached on the phrase, be not envious. Do not be envious. Oh, I thought I would go through the first few verses and talk about trusting in the Lord and taking delight in the Lord and committing our way to the Lord, be still before the Lord. A great 3 or 4 or 5 point sermon. But I struggled with it, and I kept being prompted by the Spirit, I believe, to come back to that. And the Spirit was saying, how is it with you, Paul? How is it with the Christian community? Is envy a topic that we can address in a sermon such as we are this morning? In fact, I read that sermon and, I read that psalm and I prepared a little bit of a sermon outline a couple of weeks ago, knowing I'd be preaching this Sunday. And then I sat right there where my beloved wife is sitting last Sunday, and I just was not settled on the sermon that I was going to preach today. And then something happened last Sunday. The words from the scriptures that were read to us by Natalia. Is that right? Natalia? Natalie. By Natalie, she was reading to us from 1 Corinthians 13. And when she read that text, one particular phrase, I thought, that's it. And I'll come back and explain to you a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But let's get back to envy. As I analyze envy myself, two things stood out about it. First, envy has an element of desire in it. Somebody has experienced an advantage or a benefit in life, and you want that to happen to you. Secondly, the other element, and the one that makes envy bad, is that the desire is tinged with resentment. That it's going well for the other person and not for you. That's what makes it envy and makes it wrong. So, in a sentence, envy is a mingling of a desire for something with resentment that another is enjoying and you're not able to. Things aren't going so well for you, but things are going well for them, and it just gnaws away at you sometimes. The sin of envy. Why does it go so well for that person when it doesn't go well for me? The next thing I did was try to flesh out in my own mind some examples of maybe envy in my own life, perhaps from my sanctified imagination, maybe from the lives of other people. I could speculate. What are some illustrations, examples of envy? See if you might be able to find one or two within your own life as we move through this sermon this morning. I just finished reading the book by Hillary Rodham Clinton and Louise Penny. I just finished reading that book, and so Hillary Clinton was on my mind. And I thought of Hillary Clinton and, of course, Donald Trump. And I thought that this could possibly be an opportunity for envy. If a woman devotes her life to public service to become the next president of the United States, but then she ends up not winning the race, even when she thinks she's a better candidate and has better policies, I think she could easily lie awake at night and wrestle with the prevailing thought that it didn't pan out the way she had hoped. She could feel like she devoted a lot of time and energy and got nowhere. Envious of the position, the fact that it didn't happen. Or another example, or say you have a child and that child or that grandchild is chronically sick while other families around you are always, their grandkids always seem to be healthy. You could think, my child is always sick. My child gets sick week in, week out and has these extraordinary problems. But these other families, they seem to just dance through life without any major occurrences. Or have you ever played the pension retirement game? I worked all my life without a pension plan. And there's my neighbor, retires at the young age of, and he's got a fully indexed pension for life, or whatever the case may be. Possible seedbed for envy. Or perhaps you have a friend, maybe you have a friend, who's a real interesting person, and they like to play the lottery. And they win. How do you feel about that? Or, to get a little bit more personal, perhaps you're a pastor and you see other churches growing while yours fluctuates between little growth and no growth. You say, that shouldn't be. Why is that church down the road so much more successful and growing and being blessed and we are not? I am not. Possible seed for envy. Or perhaps you think that others are much better looking or much more fashionable than you. God gave you your looks, but how easy it is to walk through life seeing others who seem to be so pretty, so handsome. And you begin to feel a little envious of their looks, their disposition. There are so many opportunities for envy. So what I want to do is observe a text where it's prohibited in Scripture and then talk about how to fight envy. Well, of course, we've already read from Psalm 37. Don't be anxious. There it is right there. But here are a few other scriptures. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. In the New Testament scripture, the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. And then a word from the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. All of them say, don't be envious. So it's not okay to be envious. It's against the will of God for you to give in to envy. So there's the warning. This is really serious business, envy. If you allow a state of envy, it could so take over your life as to cause you to make shipwreck in contrast to what should be a life of faith and obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what do we do about this problem of envy? Perhaps we can begin with how the psalmist explains it by giving us what I feel are some strong biblical principles, and then make reference to the New Testament letter of 1 Corinthians 13, where the Apostle Paul, in that love chapter, urges us to respond. In Psalm 37, it's a great psalm. It's a psalm that's a virtual gold mine of themes for you to dwell on. And I would exhort you, because in this message this morning, we can't pause on each of these wonderful nuggets, gold nuggets, but rather just how it addresses the theme of envy. We look at this theme. Don't be envious. And as you prayerfully and meaningfully read through these verses that were read to us this morning by Ron, you will find that your heart and soul is gravitating towards some wonderful pieces of counsel. Trust in the Lord, verse 3 tells us. Trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. An interesting verse that we will dwell on for a moment or two. That's an amazing promise because envy usually arises from not having the desires of our heart. You will see somebody that has something that you wish you had and you'll see that this desire is missing in your life. So the best way to fight is to go to the promise and say, now, Lord, you've made a covenant with me in verse 4. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I'm going to claim that. You say, if I will put my delight in you, you will give me the desires of my heart. So I'm going to delight in you. The Bible makes staggering promises for people who delight is in God. Now, that's a key step, trusting in God sufficiently so that you come to rest in who he is for you. It may also have a profound effect on the kind of desires that fill your heart, that fill your mind. But all the desires that you have will eventually be satisfied. What a marvelous truth. That's the essence of those amazing promises found in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 32. If he did not spare, the Apostle Paul writes, if he did not spare his own son, Jesus Christ, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him freely give you all things? The desires of the heart of the man or the woman of God who delights in God receives all things. We glibly say the words, delight in God. What a powerful phrase, delight in God. But oh, can we plummet the depths of what this implies, what it involves? When I listened to our scripture reader, our sister, last Sunday morning, and she read that verse from 1 Corinthians 13, when she read that, my heart broke open. And I said, that's it. For the apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. Here it comes. Love does not envy. Doesn't boast. It is not proud. We know that chapter of Holy Scripture well. Love does not envy. And I was struck to the heart that this is a key element in battling envy. Just a little bit of a refresher. We understand that when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, Corinthians, to the church, when he spoke of love, please understand, in the English language we have just that word love, but in the Greek language there were four very distinct Greek words. We understand that there is storge, storge, and that's kind of the love that you have for your pet. It could also be the love that the pet has toward you. That's storge love. And then there is phileo love. And that's friendship love. That's the friendship between sisters and brothers and community friends and those who you're best buds with. That's phileo love. And then, of course, there is that tender eros love. That's the romantic love between two people. A romantic love that we give ourselves to one another. Eros. But make no mistake, when the Apostle Paul said, love does not envy, he is using a category of love that is beyond human expression. It is the, we know it, agape love. It's the agape love that transcends our humanity. It goes beyond our humanity. It goes beyond loving your pet, loving your neighbors, loving your beloved spouse, your partner. It is the agape love. It's the love of God that we see in the life of Christ. It's this uniquely Christian love that Paul writes of here. Agape love does not envy. That's the key. That's the key. This is how the Spirit-filled Christ in me, love of God, is expressed by not envying. This divine love working its way out of me, being expressed in my Christian character and action, is not envious. When we delight in God, Psalm 37, when we delight in God, we are expressing not a human love. It's an agape love. When we delight in God, we are expressing the agape love of God that is in our hearts. Agape love is not envious when we find ourselves delighting in God. I learned, pardon the personal illustration, but I learned from experience this lesson very early, thankfully, in my Christian life. As a young man, I was working in a church in the Kitchener-Waterloo area as their youth pastor. I was married to my beloved wife, Candy. We had two young children, Jonathan and Stephen. I was doing full-time graduate studies at the University of Waterloo, working on my master's. And I was working at the church in the junior youth and the senior youth. I was aiding in worship when I could. And God was blessing the work. And Candy and I were very happy. Yes, I hate to say it to our church treasurer, but I got a pretty meager income. It was pretty meager. I was a suffering, we were struggling grad students and youth pastor. We got by. I ran out of gas twice on my way home from church. I can remember that with two little babies in the car. I don't think Candy's ever let me forgive. She's never forgiven me for that. No, have you? She has. But we were also blessed to have some wonderful couples our own age. You know, I was 28, 29. And wonderful couples. But keep in mind, I was just completing 7 years of post-high school education, struggling to make ends meet, but being blessed in the work of the Lord. And you know, Satan kind of said, Paul, look at those friends of yours. He's got his own auto mechanic shop. He's got a career. He's an accountant. He's working for one of those big insurance companies in downtown Kitchener. Wonderful, wonderful people. Wonderful, wonderful spirit-filled Christian men and women. But I could see the seed of envy there. God, look at what I'm doing. Look at what Candy and I are doing. And I shared this with my beloved before I share it with you this morning. And both of us agreed that if it wasn't for the agape love of God and our delight in God in doing what God was calling us to do, we would have succumbed and not experienced the blessing of God in our personal life and in the life of that congregation. This personal illustration can be multiplied by you as well this day. Circumstances are different. Your stage in life is different. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, the psalmist tells us in verse number 5. Commit your way. And then, of course, one of my favorite texts in all of Holy Scripture. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Are you good at being still before the Lord? I think most of us are really good at active praying. We begin with worship, we have thanksgiving in our prayers, and then we have our petitions, and we are just rattling them off in our prayers. Beloved child of God, join with me in understanding that there's another type of prayer. It's being still. It's just saying, Lord, here I am. Being still. Just being still and delighting in the love of God that's been shed in your hearts. Psalm 46 also echoes this very phrase, be still. The psalmist says in Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. No judgment, no jealousy, no resentment, no envy. When the love of God is experientially dwelling in your hearts, it can't exist. If the agape love of God is in your heart and you are delighting in God, he will give you the desires of your heart. And so we rest in him. And you go to the next verse of Scripture and say, God, what is the truth you have for me here? How may the desires be met as I commit my way to the Lord? I think I was surprised when I read the scripture from the book of John, where Jesus is speaking with Peter after Peter had been restored into fellowship with the Lord following the resurrection. Peter said, you know I love you, Lord. You know I love you, Lord. You know I love you, Lord. But then Peter, as Jesus and Peter have been wonderfully reconciled, Peter turns around and sees the other disciple, John. Now, Peter has already been told by the Lord Jesus by what fashion he was going to experience death. He would be a martyr for the Christian church. So Peter's kind of soaking this all in about him being a martyr. Then he sees John coming up behind them. Well, what about him? What about him? And Jesus says, that's not for you to decide. If it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. What's he saying here? I think he's saying that it's really dangerous to compare our circumstances with others. I think he's saying, look, don't get all involved in comparing yourself with this other disciple. What I have for him, I have for him. Here is what I have for you. Me. Peter, you want to follow me. Don't compare yourselves. Don't be envious of their circumstances and their lot in life. When the psalmist wrote, be not envious, he also offered us some wonderful advice and promises for the one who delights in God. With Christ in our lives, love doesn't envy. I turn back to Eugene Peterson, one of our favorite interpreters of the scriptures. And on this text from Corinthians, love doesn't envy. Peterson writes these words. This is his interpretation. love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Period. What is the solution to envy? Follow me. Delight in God, and he will give us the desires of our heart. We battle envy with love and delighting in God. May it be so in each of our lives. Amen. Worship team, please.
Thank you, Paul, for such a thought-provoking and challenging message this morning. I invite you guys to stand with us as we sing our closing song, Christ Be All Around Me.
Your blood was shed for every moment.
Christ be all around me, above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me. Christ be all around me, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Christ be all around me, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Christ be all around me, yeah.
Please remember, with your masks, make your way out the side aisle, and that would be great. Let's begin again. Let's close with benediction. Let us pray. What an awesome truth we have been meditating upon during these moments. Lord Jesus Christ, your death upon the cross, the shedding of your precious blood for the remission of sins, that we should be called the sons and daughters of the Most High God, we take delight in you. Deliver us, God, we pray, from the ways of the world, that we might experience and live the agape love of Christ in us. Lord Jesus Christ, in us, our hope is based on nothing less. And so we leave this place with this great theme of Christ all around us, within us. May the blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit of God rest upon all who love the Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.